How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
You are Locked On Thunder, your daily podcast on the Oklahoma City Thunder, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello there, everyone. We're locked in for episode 72 of Locked On Thunder, presented by the Norman Transcript. I'm your host, Fred Katz. Locked On Thunder is part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Head on to iTunes and search Locked On Thunder to subscribe to the podcast there. And you can leave a review once you're on that as well. And find us on audioboom.com too. Log on to normantranscript.com and check out my blog, Thunder Road, under the sports tab on the site for more Thunder coverage. Today's show is brought to you by SeatGeek. You can use SeatGeek for the best way to find tickets. I'm on every day of the week, Monday through Friday. As always, team coverage every day. I'm with you after games, before games, between games, all kinds of prepositional phrases with games. Thunder play the Suns. This goes up Friday morning, so Thunder play the Suns tonight. Game two, they beat Philly 103-97 on Wednesday. Sloppy performance. They didn't play well. I mean, people might be panicking a little bit too much. There's no reason to panic after one game, but, you know, they didn't play well on Wednesday. Past performance does not indicate future results. Just remember that. A lot of people have lost a lot of money investing in things because they think that past performance indicates future results. It doesn't. You bet on process, not on the results of it. Take something from the Sixers, who they played the other night. Suns on Friday night. Suns, not that good. Talented. They are talented. They're young. They're athletic. They've got a nice roster for the future. A lot of nice pieces. A lot of guys in their early 20s, mid-20s. They're very fun to watch. They're going to be one of the more fun teams to watch in the league, I think. They're a good league pass team. Not going to win a ton of games. Starting lineup, Eric Bledsoe, Devin Booker, TJ Warren, Jared Dudley, Tyson Chandler. They got Brandon Knight as their sixth man off the bench. Good sixth man candidate. Good sixth man of the year candidate. He could take that award. That award is so dumb. It's really so dumb now. It shouldn't, like, it's not dumb in its idea, sixth man of the year. It's not dumb in the way in the way that it's supposed to be. Like, it's not dumb in meaning. Having a guy who's the best bench player in the league, like, that's valuable. Just because you're come off the bench doesn't mean you're not good enough to start. Like, I'm cool with that award, with the definition of that award existing. But the way that it's used, like, it just always goes to, it's just whoever averages, whatever guard averages the most points off the bench. Like, Detlef Schrempf is a long ways away from winning that award. I mean, it's Jamal Crawford or Lou Williams or J.R. Smith, or it just goes to that type every year, it seems like. Like a Taj Gibson's just not winning it. Brandon Knight could do it. Brandon Knight's a guy who could do it because they got Bledsoe and Devin Booker in the starting lineup. They lost to the Kings. They got wrecked by the Kings to start the year. They're 0-1. Thunder now 1-0. Brandon Knight's coming off the bench. It's a heavy guard team. It's a real heavy guard team. They're always a heavy guard team. It's unbelievable. Like, they just keep rotating in these point guards. They got point guards and off guards, and it's Bledsoe, Booker, Knight. Those three guys rotating in the guard minutes, and they're all at least some element of combo-y. I mean, Knight's certainly a point guard. Bledsoe's a point guard, but Bledsoe can guard twos. Booker is kind of more of an off guard as an offensive player. You know, they had the three-point guard experiment with Dragic and Isaiah Thomas and Eric Bledsoe. That went poorly. Dragic was a third-team All-NBA guy the year before. They won 48 games. They ended up trading him to Miami. It didn't go well. He had a really down year after being third-team All-NBA. And Isaiah Thomas, who's now really starring for the Celtics, has had a great year and a half, and this is now his second full season in Boston. He's been really good. He was an All-Star last year. He didn't really quite work coming off the bench there, and it's not like he randomly got good in Boston. I mean, he had a really good year in Sacramento the year before that. They made the Brandon Knight trade. They've rotated guys in and out there. It's just a weird weird situation in Phoenix in some ways, but I do think Brian McDonough, their GM, is smart. I do think he's made some really good moves and some good trades, and he's gotten some really good talent. They drafted Marquise Chris. They drafted Dragan Bender. Chris played 20 some odd minutes. I'm really excited to see him in person. People are really excited about him, his athleticism, his physicality, just his physical gifts. I'm really excited to see him in person. Got to see Joel Embiid on Wednesday, home opener on Friday. I'm excited to see what Chris is going to do. Sometimes, you know, when you see a guy in person, it's totally different. They stand out differently than they do when they're on TV. I mean, that was, honestly, Embiid was like that. You know Embiid is 7'2", but he stood out more. Like, his size was more imposing in person than I realized he was going to be. He's so broad-shouldered. And I don't know if that comes out when you really watch him on TV. Like, when I was watching that preseason video, you can't really tell. He's just bigger than everybody. He just has to go up like 6 inches, and he's good to go in defending the rim. So I'm excited to see how Chris translates in person. I think that's going to be something to look out for. I am honestly incredibly intrigued because I'm not from Oklahoma. Like, everybody here is a Thunder fan, right? I am not from Oklahoma. I'm not even from anywhere close to the region. I'm familiar with the mentality because I live here now of being a Thunder fan, and because I'm you know, amongst the Thunder fans. But I am very curious to see the reception that Russell Westbrook gets on Friday night. Like, I it's going to be huge. Obviously, it's going to be huge, but like, that could be the loudest moment in the peak all season. When they announce Russell Westbrook's name in the starting lineups in that home opener, that is going to be an uproar. And that's going to be a great moment. That's really going to be a great moment. The Suns, they're fun to watch, though. They play fast. Earl Watson is in his first full season, took over in the middle of last year as an interim, and now he's in his first full season as head coach, and he's kind of working out kinks as well. There's a lot to work out with this team, but the big matchup here is going to be Eric Bledsoe versus Russell Westbrook. From a effect of the game standpoint, from a just entertainment standpoint, it's going to be Westbrook versus Bledsoe. Bledsoe was actually drafted by the Thunder, traded, you know, moments after to the Clippers after they drafted him 18th overall in the 2010 draft. I wonder, looking back on that, how the Thunder feel about that trade, because Bledsoe, in spite of the injuries, he's turned into a really good player. He just has the knee issues. He's got the constant knee issues, but he's turned into, obviously, a really good two-way player. He's like a Westbrook type, you know? He's not as good, obviously, but he's an unbelievable athlete, and he's rangy, and he's long, and he's got that huge chest, and he'll cut off passing lanes, and he can dunk on you, and he can finish at the rim, and he's not the best shooter in the world, although he did shoot a good percentage from three last year. From mid-range, never great, though. Off the dribble, never great. He's got kind of a funky shooting form. He's got a slow release, so he can't really shoot in traffic very well. He's got to be open, but he's better. He's so much better of a shooter than he was when he first came into the league. I remember when I was writing for a Clipper blog back in the days, the prominent days of the True Hoop Network, and I was writing for a Clipper blog, and we used to have, because Eric Bledsoe was coming off the bench and was playing about 18, 20 minutes a game, we all thought it was crazy. We all thought he should be playing next to Chris Paul. Willie Green was starting at the time. So we had the Eric Bledsoe per 36-minute tracker. With every game, we would just prorate his games, his line from per 36 minutes, and we just put that graphic in our recap for every single game. And every game, it was just Bledsoe playing great, because he's a good defensive player, too. He gambles a lot, but he's a good defensive player. He really bodies you up, and he can get out in transition, too. He's a fun, one of my favorite players in the league just to watch. He's really fun, and seeing him versus Russell Westbrook is going to be a fun thing to watch on Friday night. I want to take a quick second just to talk about SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the smartest, easiest way to find tickets for football or basketball games you want to see up close and in person this season. There's nothing like being in the stadium or the arena for the biggest plays of the year, and with SeatGeek, it's never been easier to get the guaranteed seats you want for a great value. I have the SeatGeek app on my phone, and it's by far the easiest way I've found to shop for tickets. I can be anywhere, and with just a few taps, I can instantly find seats for this weekend or any game this season. With SeatGeek, you can always get the best deal on every ticket because SeatGeek price compares for you by searching multiple ticket sites. Prices can vary depending on where you shop, but SeatGeek will always find you the lowest available price, and SeatGeek wants to help you get the most bang for your buck as well. That's why every ticket on SeatGeek is given a grade based on value. You'll immediately see any underpriced seats and be able to find the best deals that fit your budget. Plus, every ticket you buy on SeatGeek is backed by their 100% guarantee, so you can shop for tickets on SeatGeek with confidence. Best of all, my listeners get a $20 rebate off their first SeatGeek purchase. To get your $20 rebate on tickets, download the SeatGeek app, go to the Settings tab, and click Add a Promo Code. Enter the promo code LO Thunder, LO like locked on, LO Thunder, and SeatGeek is going to send you $20 after you've made your first ticket purchase. Download the SeatGeek app and enter promo code LO Thunder today.
You are Locked On Thunder, your daily Oklahoma City Thunder podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So I talked a little bit about Westbrook versus Bledsoe, and that's a fun one because it's two young guys who are going to get at it. They're going to get at each other on both ends of the floor, and they're just both unbelievable athletes, and that's going to be a fun one to watch. But there's another matchup that could be a good one. I think Steven Adams versus Tyson Chandler is going to be fun. Now, those guys are 11 years apart. This is not similarly fun to Westbrook Bledsoe, but you know what? Steven Adams, what he's trying to do defensively, the way he's trying to learn, what he's trying to become, and what he has become in a lot of ways, he's trying to mimic Tyson Chandler defensively a lot of ways. Like, I bet if Steven Adams is watching guys from the last 5-10 years who have played the center position, who he wants to defend like, I bet you Tyson Chandler is one of them. I mean, he's 2012 Defensive Player of the Year, really good athlete, knows how to use, was never a great shot blocker. Had a couple of years where he was an above average shot blocker. Had a few years where he was an above average shot blocker. Never a great shot blocker. Great rim protector. Alters tons of shots. Makes sure other ones never even get there. Blows up a gazillion pick and rolls. Incredibly heady, bright defensive player. You know, prime Chandler. We're talking prime Chandler now. We're talking, you know, 2011 championship Mavs team Chandler. You know, 2012 Defensive Player of the Year Chandler with the Knicks. We're talking that, and he's still obviously incredibly bright and has a million tricks that he can use and that he will use on Adams when Adams is posting up, or that he has around the post when Westbrook or Oladipo try to drive into the center and he's going to try to come over and help. He's got a million tricks that he's going to use. That's going to be fun to watch because it's like watching Adams. I mean, Adams is farther along now than Tyson Chandler was when Tyson Chandler was 23. Tyson Chandler really didn't develop until he was older, even though he was drafted out of high school. It took him a long time for him to become this, you know, really awesome, awesome player who's had an amazing career and is not as good now as he used to be because he's 34 years old and he doesn't have the athleticism. He can't really leap like he used to. He can still get up there, but I mean, he you know, at his peak was just, you know, one of the best center athletes in the league, the premier defensive center in the NBA. That's not quite the case anymore, but he can still do it when he's healthy, when he's going. He can still defend. He can't carry a defense completely by himself, but he is certainly a good defensive player. Watching him versus Adams, two outrageously physical guys. If you like brooding defense, that's a fun matchup to watch. I'm looking forward to that one too. I want to see how Victor Oladipo responds too. I mean, look, I don't think there's really any judgments to be made about Victor Oladipo's first game with the Thunder other than that he didn't play well during his first game, and that's about it. Victor Oladipo has bad games. We've seen that. Victor Oladipo's not a perfect player. He's been inconsistent throughout his career. That's a theme with Victor Oladipo. We should know that. Even superstars are allowed to have bad games, right? I want to see how Oladipo responds. I mean, not necessarily mentally, or I should say not necessarily physically how he responds, but how he responds mentally. I want to see if he goes at Devin Booker, if Devin Booker's guarding him. And I imagine Devin Booker is going to be guarding him. I think I know Russell Westbrook gets a lot of wings on him, but I think there's a decent chance we're probably gonna see a lot of Eric Bledsoe on Russell Westbrook. Maybe we'll see them play PJ Tucker more. Maybe we'll see some more PJ Tucker on him. But if that's the case, I mean, then the Thunder offense could be, or the Suns offense could be cramped a little bit more. I mean, PJ Tucker barely played in their opener. But with their starting lineup out there, I mean, you know, maybe we'll see some TJ Warren. We'll see some Eric Bledsoe. Either way, there are going to be moments where we're going to see Devin Booker guarding Victor Oladipo. And when the ball ends up in Oladipo's hands and Devin Booker ends up on him, Oladipo's got to go at him. He's got to go at him. Now, the Suns have Tyson Chandler, who's a good rim protector, and they're going to have a similar strategy to Phoenix, or to Philadelphia, to what Philadelphia did the other night. They're going to pack the paint. They're going to help off shooters however they can. That's what they're going to do. That's what every team is going to do against the Thunder this year. The Thunder have spacing constraints, and that's not going to be solved easily. But Oladipo, I want to see how he does going to the rim. I want to see if he's a little bit more decisive going to the rim. I want to see if he's a little more decisive, not just shooting at the rim, because what he was doing was he was going to the rim and he was only looking at the rim. And he had some shooters open. And when I say decisive, I mean, Billy Donovan talked about this a little bit. They made some poor driving decisions. And the Thunder shot 48% in the restricted area. They missed some bunnies, but they shot 48% in the restricted area, in part because they made some poor decisions when they were penetrating. And that's fine. They're still getting a feel for their offense. I'm wondering maybe a couple more times in the next game, they get a little better at it. And then they get a little better at it the next game after that, a little better at it the game after that. And that's a development that we're going to have to follow throughout the year, because for the Thunder offense, for the half-court offense to be propped up even into some decent level, they're going to have to be really good driving the ball. They're going to have to be really effective in the restricted area. And that means Oladipo, it means Westbrook, it means Adams, it means Cantor. Those guys are really going to have to score down low at a very efficient level, because that's the most efficient shot. And if they can't get there because the spacing doesn't allow them to, then I don't know how they're going to score that much in the half court. A lot of that is going to come down to Oladipo. All right, so game tonight, 7 o'clock. Thunder Alley opens up at 4 p.m. So you can get there early. I don't know how. There's tons of construction outside of the stadium right now. I don't know how they're doing that or how they're organizing it, but I know they say Thunder Alley starts at 4 o'clock, so if you're going to that, I don't know how you're dealing with the construction, but I'm sure they figured it out, and I'm sure it will be an unruly scene. I have no doubt about that one. This is obviously the last show before we're off for the weekend, so the Thunder, I'm going to have reaction for a couple of games when we come back on Monday. I'm going to have, you know, the Suns game, which is tonight. They play the Lakers on Sunday night as well. Remember, I'm on every weekday, like I said, Monday through Friday. You can head on to iTunes to subscribe to Locked On Thunder. Make sure you get all those shows. If you have questions or comments, email lockedonthunder@gmail.com. You can also find me on Twitter at Fred Katz, FREDKATZ. Log on to normantranscript.com for all your Thunder needs. And check out Thunder Road. That's my blog there, just under the sports tab on the site. And you can see what's next for the Thunder. Use SeatGeek and remember to use that promo code LOTHUNDER. Again, L-O is like locked on. LOTHUNDER to get your $20 rebate. That's going to do it for today. Off for the weekend. Back Monday. Until then, Locked On Thunder is locking up.
Progressive presents Mindflowness with Flo.
Before you lies a beautiful meadow. In that meadow, Progressive Direct has placed its auto insurance rates alongside those of competitors. You select the lowest rate and feel a great sense of calm. A great sense of...
Compare Progressive Direct rates with competitors' rates so you can rest easy. Visit Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.